Hello, everybody. Welcome to the seventh show.
Seventh?
I think it's seventh show of MVP Rentals podcast. Brought to you today by a rainy, gray, gloomy, cold day of Wisconsin.
It's disgusting.
We are really hitting winter at this point.
No.
It was so nice. We had like a 70 day last week, and now we're in the 40s.
I'm so sad.
I know. Just in time with the remote start.
Yes.
So that has been nice. That's the best feature. Most used out of the new truck is the remote start. Just in time for winter. Today's show, we are going to kind of talk about topics of ROI, or return on your investment of your either rental or single family home. Kind of a relevant topic for us right now here because we just locked up a property. We're actually closing on the 10th for our first official flip. We've done flips before, but they're from my knowledge and who I've listened to from the experts, and they talk about the Burr method. So you buy, rehab, rent, refinance, and then repeat. So what, you just keep doing the...
What if somebody has a duplex? Are you excluding them from this conversation?
Absolutely not. Okay. No. So we've done the Burr method where we actually keep the asset and rent it out. This is going to be the first official purchase, flip, and then sell. So it's, I mean, the only thing that's different is the last two R's. Well, two of the R's, the rent and the repeat on this one. But same.
Hopefully you're going to repeat this though.
We will repeat. We'll do another flip, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, another flip to sell.
There you go.
We've done flips before. Because, I mean, that's primarily all the properties we pick up. The old decrepit houses that just need some TLC. Those are the ones I love.
The scary ones.
Yeah, the scary ones.
Or what everybody else would think would be scary.
Right. So what we did, and by we, I mean Natasha, she put together a nice little spreadsheet of common things that you rehab or fix up in your house, and where is that money going to, and how much of that money will you get back if you sell, whenever you sell.
Really what I did, though, I just put together a spreadsheet of the best returns on your investments that you could do in your house that are easy DIY projects that most homeowners could do by themselves without the need to hire out a professional.
Yeah. I mean, with some YouTube university,
you
can knock all of these out as long as you're okay with heights. There's one on roof.
Yes, I know.
As long as you're okay with heights, you can do the roofing. I just actually came from a walkthrough. My sister lives in Baltimore. They're looking to move back and they found a house. They're obviously in Baltimore, so they called me and they're like, hey, can you walk through this house for us? Let us know what you think. So all of these things that you have here on this list are things that I'm looking at when I go through the house. I was on FaceTime with him. When we're done, I talked to him about, hey, these are things you can do. We can take this door out here. You can add this here.
Yeah.
Just to like either free up the floor space or just, there's a couple things where I was like, it just doesn't look right. But, and a lot of these things we're going to have to do at that house if they do.
Sure.
They're going to put in an offer. If they actually get the offer accepted, these are some of the things that we're going to be looking to do. So it's even more relevant on that front too. So as we go through this, we'll kind of talk about the stuff we have going on, which is the house that they're looking at and then our one that we're going to start on the 10th.
For sure. And I'll make sure to include this spreadsheet that I put together in our Facebook post for all of you listeners to be able to refer back to it.
Yeah, and we want you guys to use it. Like, don't feel bad taking the information. We're putting it out there for you guys to use. If there's anything, like, if you're getting ready to sell or you're just like, you're going to sell in the next few years, you can start it now and feel safe that it's not going to be lost.
And I was just really happy when I was looking at all of these things and I was like, oh, I did that. Check. Oh, I did that. Check. Oh, I did that. Check. And I was like, oh, yay. Like, I'm actually doing something the right way. What?
Right. And that's where you get into, like, you're not spending money at a big box retailer or buying something that's going to depreciate. All the money that you put into your home, if you buy in the right market and if things are going well in the economy, you will get the money back.
For sure.
We can't guarantee these percentages. But
yes,
if the economy is going well, this is what the pattern has been.
We are by no way guaranteeing any of this information. We are just presenting it.
We will put that clause in there. But as long as things are trending the way that they are, these are the percentages that we're getting that we've researched to find. So, and before we start, I apologize for my sniffling.
I know, me too.
We're sanding right now, and the dust that's going on in the house is just crazy on my sinuses. Not sick. There's no corona.
No corona here.
It's literally just dust that's irritating my sinuses. So I apologize if I sound nasally or I sniffle in the microphone.
Oh, no. I just have a common cold. Blah.
Always fun.
Yes.
This time of year in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
Love it. So we'll get into the spreadsheet here. We're just going to go line by line on different items. We'll throw in our examples that we have so it kind of like paints a picture for mm-hmm. you guys to picture what's all going on or how does all work
sure.
type of thing. So, Natasha, throw out the first item.
All right. The first item is a steel entryway door. And I want to tell you, I just put one on my front door and my back door. I replaced my janky old wooden door with yep. two brand new steel insulated doors.
Yep.
And it looks, A, it looks so much better.
Yeah.
B, I did have to have somebody install them for me because my house is kind of crooked. And we're just like, let's just be smart about this.
Yeah.
So disclaimer, I did have somebody install ours, but the insulation value in them has made all the difference in the world.
Yeah. And there's three kind of main things to that steel entry door. I mean, first one that everybody looks for is security.
Yes.
It's going to be way more secure than a wooden door.
Mm-hmm.
Two, durability.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there's four things. Three you touched on was like the insulation factor yep. of it. It does retain your air mm-hmm. way better.
Right.
And then your curb appeal.
Yes.
It just looks better.
Mm-hmm.
The wooden doors, now in some makeup of houses,
yes.
a wood door does make it look nicer.
Like a craftsman style house
right.
or a Tudor house, for sure.
Right. But for the majority of homes, going to a steel is mm-hmm. just the right way to go. I put steel on my property.
Sure.
I'm going to put steel on the one in
mm-hmm.
Menominee Falls, which
nice.
Is the one that we're closing on the 10th. And then the one that I just looked at had the steel front door.
Awesome.
It just, they especially with the climate here,
for
with
sure.
the snow and the heat, and there's such a variant of what we get hit
and
with.
Contracting
yeah.
of any wood material
right.
would just be
your
awful.
Replacement cost for it is going to go way down.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, like, the wooden doors are sealed and all that stuff.
Sure.
But steel is going to last longer than wood.
Oh, for sure.
I feel like making one of those... You know that Instagram where he sits there sipping a cup of coffee? And, like, underneath there's a sign. And at the end it says, change my mind?
No.
You haven't seen that one?
No.
They always, like, erase what the lettering on it and then create a new phrase for it. But mine would be, a steel door lasts longer than a wood door. Change my mind. Because
oh.
it's impossible. It just does.
That's funny.
In that one, did we get a percentage of what you're going to get back
on that one? If you DIY, you can do between 70 and 100%. So really, there's no loss here for this.
And when we're talking about percentages, we're talking about...
cents on the dollar.
Yeah. So you're going to get 70 cents to...
a dollar.
Yeah. Back on what you put into it.
Yep. And then I didn't have my percentages down for the professional, but I believe it was very similar.
Yeah.
It's just that you might spend a little bit more to have it installed versus you being able to install it yourself and you could
yeah.
just recoup those costs.
Yeah. And that is going to be a smaller, if you do hire a professional, maybe two people to come in, hold mm-hmm. that in. The material cost is going to be most
of it. Mine was one person, so.
Yeah. It's not that complicated of a process.
No.
You were talking front door.
Yeah.
We just put two French steel doors in my mom's house.
Oh, pretty.
Onto her deck, and two people did that.
Nice.
In 6 hours.
Oh, yeah.
So it is super easy. If you do a professional, you're not going to run up the costs on man hours. Yeah. It's an in and out type of thing. And if you're not comfortable with doing it, because there is a lot of balancing that you need to do.
Sure.
You need to shim it. Like you
yes.
said, settling with your house is not all 90 degrees.
Oh, my gosh. We were looking at that, and my husband and I were just like, no.
Yeah.
Pass.
And people like usually square it left, right.
Mm-hmm.
But the one other thing that they have to look at is like the top and bottom.
Yeah.
So it is kind of a touchy thing. So if you aren't a big YouTube university person, or don't have the outlets, like
mm-hmm.
feel comfortable going with a professional to put that in.
Absolutely.
Or a handyman Google
yeah.
in your area.
Oh, for sure.
Is someone that
very
can
easily.
Handle that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's not going to be a lot of engineering that needs to go into it.
No.
They'll just rip out your old door, put your new one back in.
Yeah.
Do the tuck work. It'll look brand
yep.
new in a day.
I had my handyman come out and do ours, and it was worth every single penny that I
yeah.
spent.
Yeah, absolutely. What is item number two?
Item number two is replacing your siding. And then I actually don't know how difficult this would be. I can't imagine that it would be too difficult, especially if you have a ranch or a one-story home.
If you have a ranch, super easy.
Yeah.
Get a 12-foot ladder, you're good to go.
Except we won't let my husband do that. He fell off a ladder and shattered his shoulder. So we're
professional.
Yeah.
Let's go professional. So we just did a two-story siding replacement. We had a crew of three doing it. Maybe took us... we did get held up because we were doing siding as we were building.
Oh, yeah.
So there were some parts where we had to wait for them to finish that side to go. But probably took us a couple weeks to get it all done.
Nice. That's not bad.
We just put in vinyl siding.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing you have to watch for, and if you're going to DIY it, they make, and you're going to do vinyl, they make these corner pieces that you can attach the J channel. So every bit of vinyl siding sits in what they call a J channel. Mm-hmm. Looks literally like a J.
Yeah.
You tack that in, and that's what holds the siding on.
Sure.
If you get these little corner pieces, you don't have to worry about cutting 45s.
Oh, that's nice.
Highly recommend doing it. It costs, a bag of them maybe costs like $5 to $10.
That's not bad.
But it is going to save you headaches.
Headaches, yeah.
And they're durable. It's so much easier just to pop them in. You don't have to be as precise with your measurements. Like when we're cutting, because I didn't like the look of it. And mm-hmm. I knew that the guys could do it this way. But when you're cutting around windows and around doors, you have to be so precise, like down to the eighth, so that you can cut your 45 correct so it all fits in and you don't have a huge gap. But if you're DIYing it, you're not going to decrease your value by adding these corner pieces in by any means.
Yeah.
I just didn't like the look, so I didn't do it. And I caught flack from the guys. They're like, get these corner pieces. And I was like, but I don't like them. So, like, even they wanted them, and they do this all the time. But, yeah, they're going to be right in where you get your siding.
Okay.
You just ask for the corner pieces.
Sure.
And you can play dumb and just say, I'm looking for the corner pieces for the J channel around windows.
Yeah.
And they'll know exactly what you're looking for. Pick up more than you think. You can always return them.
Yeah.
But yeah, it makes it so much easier, so much nicer. And if you're doing this on a ranch home, you're not going to need a lot of equipment. You'll just need some like roofing nails to tack in the siding.
See, I find this topic very interesting because I have a stucco home with a little bit of siding on it.
Mm-hmm.
My garage is all sided, but my husband and I have talked about tearing off the stucco and just siding the entire house.
Yeah.
And ideally, we would love to do it,
yeah,
but this is not going to be our forever home.
Yeah.
So we decided to not do it, but we can always redo the front siding and just like make it whatever our color that we want it to be or our feel. And there's so many different types of siding too, which is
there is. And the other thing that you can look at, I know your home is stucco. You may not need to take down the stucco to put your siding up.
Oh.
You can always just go over the top.
That would be nice.
So it'll save you on labor from actually ripping it down. The one thing you just got to look out for is your windows and anything that's offset to it, because you're not going to want your siding to go over and hang over your windows. It might look a little bad.
Odd,
but
yeah.
Like on the house we're doing right now, we kept three walls. So we built on three additional walls that met up to those old existing walls, and they don't line up perfectly. We could be an eighth of an inch off on the top, a fourth of an inch off the bottom, because again, that house isn't square either.
Right.
But they make what they call, I believe it's Z foam or pink foam.
Oh yeah.
And it's this really, really super thin pink foam.
Mm-hmm.
All we did is tack that in. That created a little bump out, so we were flush with the other one. We sided over the old siding. They had some old wood siding on there, some wood planks.
Oh yeah.
That pink foam brought us right up to that, and we just sided right over it.
Nice.
You won't tell from looking at it unless you take off the siding. You'll see the old stuff. We just went right over the top. Saved us in time. And to be honest, if you don't need to rip it off, don't.
Right.
There's no real benefit to doing it. You're not, even when you go to resell, no one's going to know the difference anyways.
I mean, I guess my only concern would be if there wasn't insulation behind the siding.
Correct.
That would be something bad. Like our house has no insulation anywhere except a bathroom wall that we had redone last year. And it's the warmest room in the house right now. So I'll just go in there and snuggle in and just like sit in the bathtub just to stay warm.
In the way that I look at it is, if you're doing a demo or a DIY trying to flip something, do I need to take this apart?
Right.
Is it really necessary? Because once you start disturbing stuff, it's a chain effect where other things are going to get disturbed.
What are the benefits and what are the non-benefits?
Right.
Yeah.
So at that point, I was like, we don't need to rip this down. Right. If anything, it's going to be a little extra barrier to the outside from the inside. So we put some foam on. That created more of an insulator. So we just left it.
Right.
We're going to get the return on it. The siding, I know, looks better from the pictures.
For sure.
And I can't wait for those pictures.
So nice.
I can't wait for the before and afters of those.
Yes. So the return on investment for this with a DIY is between 75 and 80%, which is still pretty good. 75 cents, 80 cents on the dollar. I'll take that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not the most complicated thing to do.
No.
Just make sure things are level.
Yeah.
Have a level with you.
And then for if you choose to have it professionally done, I don't have the numbers like right on hand, but I would guess it'd be about 50%.
Yeah, because you're factoring in labor costs on it. So the hours to do it, they're going to have a bigger crew to do it. If you have a two-story, three-story, if you have an apartment complex that's massive, obviously your numbers are going to change. But for the most part, it's not the most tricky thing to do.
Sure.
Just make sure you advise to YouTube University.
Right.
Get the tools you need. But there's not a lot of supplies. It's not backbreaking work.
No.
But it's just not it's not shingling.
Yes.
Which but we're going to talk about next.
Make sure if you do take the siding off, though, you have like reserved a dumpster that you can use to throw all of your siding out and make sure it's hauled away appropriately.
Correct. Correct.
Anyway, up next would be a new roof. And now this is where we say, please be careful.
Yes.
We don't want you climbing up ladders and not making sure that you're taking care of yourselves.
Yes. I do roofing. I've done roofing. There are still some circumstances. Like the house we're doing now, I could not do it. I called in a professional. I knew my limits. I conceded to that. The pitch on this thing was way too steep.
Yeah.
I'm not putting my guys or me in jeopardy of falling off a roof.
Right.
That is a big fall.
Yes.
In the professionals, they've got braces. They've got all the safety equipment that's needed. And don't feel bad about paying the extra money for a professional to come in. Because when I look at a property, those are like the two biggest things I need to look for is the roof and the foundation. So you're going to get your money back on a new roof. Pay the extra money to get it done right. Plus the professionals, if you are doing like a truss repair or like a sheeting repair, not just shingles.
Sure.
There's going to be engineering that goes into like the truss part of it and making sure that's done correctly because you want that thing to last. And it's going to add a value to someone coming in and buying your house saying, yes, we have this company did it that does roofing or.
And maybe it has a warranty on it then.
Correct. Correct. As opposed to you saying, yeah, I did it on the weekend. It took me a couple months.
Right. And you know, funny thing is the biggest thing I saw when I was researching this topic was they say, duh, nobody's gonna buy a house with a cruddy roof, so just replace it.
You know, well, limited people. I have bought houses without a roof on it before,
but then you ask for concessions and you ask for a price reduction.
Absolutely. And that was a huge price reduction to it. There was literally holes in the wall in the roof. But knowing that I was going to go in, I'm going to spend money on the roof. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going to.
Right.
You can't tell me I'm not going to. Change my mind.
And then you don't know what's come after the holes in the roof, or you don't know what's happened because of this disrepair.
Right. Obviously, there's going to be rain. There's going to be snow. There's going to be stuff that gets animals that get through. So it's not the best thing in the world. But for the property that we looked at that we're going to do, we are pretty much redoing the roof. We're going to put new sheets on. We're actually adding dormers off of the truss already.
Oh, nice.
So it is a one-story kind of like bungalow feel.
Yes.
But the second story, we're actually adding a staircase up.
Oh,
and then we're
awesome.
Adding four dormers, one off the front and three off the back.
Nice.
So we're actually going to go into the attic trusses and build those dormers off of it. So there is going to be some structural stuff on there. I'm not just doing this willy-nilly. We've got engineers involved to make sure that what we're doing is going to meet code, is going to be safe for the next owners. So even the person who does it on their own is going to get the expert advice on sistering these dormer windows into this attic.
You do know you have to stop telling me about like adding dormers and stuff because you're going to make me want to do it to my house, and I can't.
You can't? Oh, yeah, you don't have a...
I only have an attic.
That's right.
Yes, I know. It's so sad. I would love to have...
I mean, you can add one.
I know.
Just add a random window in there.
I know, right? My husband's like, Natasha, stop. Stop dreaming. I'm like, okay, fine. But the great part is, even if you do hire a professional to do this replacement of your roof, you're still going to get over 100% back on mm-hmm. your return on investment. In fact, it's 109%. So $1.09 per each dollar spent. That's nothing to shake yeah. your head at.
So if you're going to sell and your roof is on the fence and you're mm-hmm. like, oh, I'll just let the new owner do it. Mm-hmm. That's one philosophy to do it.
Absolutely.
But if you put it on the market and it's a brand new roof and you can say literally just done a month ago.
Right.
You're going to get your money back and then some.
And roofs are not that expensive. When I was researching mm-mm. this, I was like, oh, it's, I think it was like, what, $7,500 for a single level house? Like, that's not yeah. awful.
Yeah. I mean, it comes down to like a price per square foot. Yeah. Obviously, if you've got a second story, the price is going to go up because they need more
for sure.
material. The type of shingling you're going to put on. It's a huge variance in that.
Right. I mean, you could even do a metal roof.
Yep.
There's that option as well. And that roof yep. will last forever.
Yeah.
So
I like the look of metal roofs.
I love it.
I'm just waiting to be able to put one on a property.
I know.
I haven't had a property where I could actually put on a metal roof. Mm. But
I don't know how expensive those are. But they're options.
They're more expensive. For the duration and what you're paying for.
Exactly.
It is worth it.
Yeah.
Sure. And if you like the style of them, if you don't like the style of them, they're a little bit more noisy.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah.
But that's about it.
Just add more insulation in your attic.
Right. but yeah, usually unless there's like a massive hailstorm,
oh god,
like you're not really going to have any damage with them.
Right.
So worth it.
Yep.
Always.
All right. Next up is adding a deck. I'm assuming it could be a deck or say you have a single family home. It mm-hmm. could be a hardscape off the back of your house.
Yeah.
Some outdoor living type of scenario.
Yep. More for the curb appeal.
For sure.
Type stuff.
Well, it's the back.
Well, I guess
curb.
It's back of the house. That is true. The ambiance of the backyard.
Yes. In fact, we added a brick paver patio and to our backyard last year.
Don't leave out the putting green.
Oh, and the putting green. And we're going to be installing a brick fireplace in the backyard too.
That'd
we haven't
awesome.
Done that yet. We're slowly but surely getting there.
Yeah.
We have all the bricks in our garage.
That's good.
Just haven't done the actual bricking of it
yet. That's true. And that stuff, super easy. So I've built two kind of like fire pits.
Yeah.
And I have paid $0 for both of them.
Really?
Facebook Marketplace.
Oh.
People want to
yeah.
get rid of bricks all the time, and you can find, because there are contractors that go out that buy over the amount they need.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, I can't return these.
Yeah.
So they're just like, if you can come pick them up, take them.
They're yours.
So I picked up bundles of bricks, and they're all the same brick. I'm not like hodgepodging three different people. You can pick them up. So I guess I have to buy mortar mix.
Oh.
So it does cost a little bit of money.
Not bad.
But yeah, I mean, there's stuff out there. People want to get rid of bricks, and they're all decorative bricks. So you're not going to go
for sure
a low quality. So,
and that's for any of these projects, really. You can always look on Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist
yep.
or wherever, because people are always trying to get rid of extra supplies that they have or
yeah.
surplus.
Yep, absolutely.
For sure. And so adding a deck, and I guess they're kind of referring to a traditional deck, whether that be a one-story deck or a deck that's off the back of, say, a kitchen, your return on investment there is going to be 80%. But definitely more if you're in a warmer environment, so it would be closer to that 80%. If you do decide to hire it out with a professional, it's going to be more around the 60-62%, which is still a pretty decent return on your investment, especially mm-hmm. for something that's kind of a little frivolous.
Right. And if you do this before you sell, you get the enjoyment factor on all of these things.
Oh, for sure.
So if you're doing this 5 years before you sell, you've got the 5 years of enjoying what you're doing.
Yep.
And you're pretty much, if you hire a professional to do it,
mm-hmm.
you're still getting 60% of your money back.
And I think a lot of it also depends on what type of materials you choose to use
mm-hmm.
for your decking, because you can use just traditional wood or you can go with that.
The composite stuff.
Yep.
That's what I put on the front of this house.
Yeah, and that
worth
stuff,
it.
Again, will last forever.
Worth it.
Yeah, I think it's really cool looking, too. So.
Oh, absolutely. No, the railings and all that are natural pine.
Okay.
But the decking, the flooring mm-hmm. is all that composite.
Yeah. I mean, you could even go as far as using like steel or metal mm-hmm. railings too, if you desire.
And oh, absolutely.
The nice thing is there's so many options and so many different ways that you can personalize a deck to make it really yours.
Right. And I like those metal mm-hmm. railings. I'm just trying to go for like that farmhousey look. Ooh, so I was like, I'm going to just do natural wood. It's not the most like secure porch.
Sure.
But like it looks really nice. I do like it.
Hashtag don't go over to Marcus's.
Just don't lean on it. yeah, but I chose that composite because it holds up to the weather
yeah.
with the heat and the cold that we have here. I wanted something that's going to not expand and contract so much.
For sure.
And the insulation of it was so easy. If you got the it's like an easy install clip.
Yeah.
I've so seen basically those. You just butt the two together with a clip in between, you mm-hmm. throw a screw in the middle and it holds it down.
Love it.
It was so easy to do rather than putting all this like natural wood
sure.
on there that you're going to have to then stain and paint mm-hmm. year after year.
Right.
This stuff's going to.
That's just no fun.
Yeah. It's going to hold true. So
you want to enjoy your deck, not right. slave over it.
Right. And that's why I went with the composite.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Next up is kitchen remodel. And there's a couple of different variations that you can do as far as the kitchen remodel goes. The cost effectiveness or the return on investment is geared more towards like a $20,000 remodel, as opposed to like a $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 remodel. So just a smaller one, kind of trying to get your kitchen triangle in order as far as where your stove and your sink and your dishwasher are. Is an option. You can do a full remodel, however your return on investment is not going to be nearly as good. But that being said, kitchens and baths sell houses.
They do.
Any ideas as far as like what you would do for a kitchen remodel?
So we actually have, with this new one coming up, they have very limited cabinet space.
Oh.
But a very big kitchen.
Oh, interesting.
They also have carpet in their kitchen.
What?
Which was a little bizarre. So what we're going to do is we're going to obviously rip out the carpet.
Yeah.
They've got awesome railroad ties going through the kitchen. So we're keeping those.
Okay. Where are the railroad ties?
They're up on the ceiling. So they've got these shiplap boards going through. And then on top of the shiplap, they have, I think it was like 8 railroad ties. They're kind of smaller. But running the opposite direction of them.
Interesting.
They look awesome. So we're keeping those, but we'll end up redoing the cabinets. We're going to keep the sink where it is. It's kind of tucked right in the corner overlooking the backyard, which I thought was a super cool thing. But with the floor space they have, we're actually going to add an island in the middle.
I was wondering.
We're going to have like a giant hood coming down.
Oh, cool.
Through that, the dishwasher. Hopefully, we'll be running the plumbing through and we'll put the dishwasher in that mm-hmm. island. And then obviously countertops and
sure.
new cabinets because the cabinets are old.
Sure.
If you can envision what cabinets are in there
yeah.
with the carpet.
Oh, I can.
So they're really outdated, and really old.
Sounds scary.
Yeah. So we'll put brand new ones in there. But yeah, when it's all done, we're not changing walls. We're not knocking anything right. down. We're going to take out the wallboard, put up drywall. So it's going to be no carpet.
Right.
I was going to say replace carpet.
No.
We're taking the carpet out.
It's gone.
We'll be putting in LVP.
Which is?
Luxury vinyl plank. Oh. So it looks, I mean, the technology now with plank, it looks like wood.
It really does.
And it's like a click and set. It's super easy.
It's really durable,
scratch resistant. It's awesome. So we'll be putting in vinyl plank. We're going to put in the island. We'll be redoing the cabinets. All we're really doing is rearranging. So.
Nice.
It should be super easy, but the kitchen right now, with how you look at it and when you're going to look at it when it's done, is going to be way different. You're going to think it's this whole different space,
mm-hmm.
but it's literally just a TLC.
Right.
Rearrange, make it flow better, and that's it.
And can I just add in here that my husband and I, we redid our entire kitchen for, I mean, granted, we have a very, very small kitchen, but we probably spent around $15,000 to $20,000 over the past 2 years. We redid our entire kitchen, and I have to say, I'm going to plug IKEA right here because I love my IKEA cabinets so much.
It's great.
They're the easiest cabinets. You literally put a rail on the wall, and you hang your cabinets on this rail. Done.
Yeah.
That's it.
So I was reading, and I don't know if this is correct, so someone out there listening, you can fact check me on this one, but the reason that IKEA is who they are is because they started, it was in Sweden, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when they sell their home, they take their cabinets with them.
That is correct.
Is that right?
That is correct.
I think that's the bizarrest thing ever.
We found out about that from our installer, who, because we paid somebody to install the first side of cabinets for us because we didn't realize how easy it was going to be. And then the next side, we're like, we can do this. In fact, we added cabinets everywhere in our house because we're like, oh, it's so easy. Cabinet here. Everybody gets a cabinet. Cabinet here.
You want some in your room? Yeah. You get a cabinet.
That's exactly what we did. We put them in our closet and now we have this awesome like walk-in closet. But yeah, so people in Sweden, traditionally, when they move from house to house, they bring their cabinets with them. It's like their property.
That's so bizarre. It's so backwards from here.
I know.
Because usually the only thing that they take is washer and dryer. And maybe a fridge.
Yeah.
I've seen that before.
Sometimes. I don't know. I just want to leave everything in my house when I move. I'm like, just pack up.
I don't know what I would do if I got an offer in and they were like, we put in an offer and they're like, well, we're taking the cabinets. Okay. I don't know what I would do. Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
I know. I'm debating whether or not I should take the cabinets with me when we move, but no, I won't.
You might as well.
I know, right? So anyway, and then for the rest of our kitchen, you know, we actually found somebody on Facebook to install our granite for us. We saved a couple $100, maybe even $1,000, just by hiring somebody very small scale.
Yep.
He does it on the side on like weekends and stuff. We're like, okay, cool. He installed it. It looks great.
Yeah.
Done.
They do look nice.
Thank you.
I will agree.
But we love our cabinets. Yeah. Anyway.
And with this, the next property, in terms of money allotment,
mm-hmm.
like putting in those dormers, it's going to be a cost.
Yes.
But we're allotting a lot of the cost to the kitchen, like you said before, the kitchen and the bathrooms.
Yes.
Like we have other rooms we got to touch on.
Right.
But those are going to be heavy, heavy costs.
Most of the time, I mean, if you're going to refinish floors, you can do that. That's not super expensive. Mm-hmm. If you want to paint the walls, again, not super expensive.
Right.
Get new carpet. Okay. Right. Anyway, as far as your return on investment, if you do your kitchen and you spend under $20,000, you're going to get about 80 to 85% back. If you spend a little bit more, if you spend, you know, 20 or above 20, you're going to probably stick around the 60% range. And that's if you have a professional do it for you, too. Although I would lean more towards the 50% if you go upwards of $20,000. Next one up is your, since we just talked about kitchens and baths sell homes, is your bathroom remodel. And again, they're leaning towards you doing a smaller bathroom remodel as opposed to a big one where you're tearing everything out. Like say perhaps just replacing your sink with a pedestal sink or mm-hmm. putting in new mirrors or putting in storage options.
Yeah. And just touching on both of these because it kind of aligns with both. Don't feel bad. I know even if you're handy to hire in a professional because you're dealing with electrical, you're dealing with plumbing, two things that I would not mess around with if you don't have some knowledge behind them.
No.
So if you're unsure,
mm-hmm.
have the professional in. Just like you were unsure of how to do the cabinets, you brought in the professional, he started.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, that's something that I can kind of do.
Yeah.
So I would never say don't do professional. This is super easy. Just go ahead and do it. Like if you're unsure, it will not hurt you in the long run to spend an extra couple $100 to have somebody out to show you how to do this. Because the worst thing that you want is your cabinets to not be straight.
Right.
And now you get to the end of it and it's not lining up with your stove. And then everything just looks like it was hodgepodge together.
Right.
It just doesn't look right. And again, your house settles. Things move.
Right.
They're not all 90 degree angles.
Gosh, no.
So you're going to have some shimming to do. You're going to have to make sure that you look at the whole plan before you start throwing up cabinets. So a professional, I would, if you're unsure, suggest it, but you're going to get your money back.
Right. And by the way, I didn't say that I could do it. My husband said that he could do it. And I was like, okay.
We'll throw him under the bus on that one.
I was like, it's going to be your fault if it's messed up.
Yep.
But it wasn't. It turned out really, really easy, really great.
Yeah. On the last one we did that actually came up, the base of the floor, and this was just an oversight on our end, the base of the floor, 90 degree square. We could have lined the bottom of the cabinets up, went right to the stove. Then we had a little bump out where the stove ended.
Mm-hmm.
Ceiling or top of cabinet, completely fine. 90 degree, had the length. there was a little bow in the wall.
Oh, no.
So when we started, we put the first one in, and we got to the middle, and all of a sudden the middle wasn't fitting in. We're like, what is going on? We measured the middle between the wall, the two walls, and that was where it was like a fourth of an inch off.
Oh, no.
So for that fourth, we were like kind of in this limbo stage of, well, what do we do? We ended up returning one of the cabinets, got one that was 2 inches smaller, and then built a little buffer in between. So you can't, smart. You'll never notice it now.
Right.
But when we were putting it in, we're like, man, this isn't fitting. This is super weird.
Because the counter's over top of it, so you're never going to see
right.
it.
Oh, right.
That makes sense.
And it's a little buffer right between where your under the sink cabinetry sure. goes and then where your dishwasher goes.
Oh,
so
got
the
it.
Seam that we created just looks like the natural yeah. backing of the, or the front of the cabinet before the door. So that's what I'm talking about. There's a lot of measurements you need to do mm-hmm. where, I mean, they'll tell you on YouTube
right.
what to measure and how to measure it and why you're measuring it.
Right.
But if you're completely unsure and you've never done this before, grab the professional. I mean, even Home Depot, you can go in for free and talk to them.
Oh, for sure. And they always have classes on like
yeah.
how to tile, how to, you know, install X, right. Y, or Z. But I've never taken one of those classes. I've been too scared. But
yeah.
We figured it out from YouTube, so
right.
we're fine.
Right.
Fine. Anyway, for your bathroom remodel, again, you're going to get about the 80-85%, and then it's going to be about 50-60% for if you hire a professional to do it. Next up is the adding an attic bedroom, if you can. If you can't, what they do suggest, though, is just insulate the heck out of it. Just throw insulation up there until you're blue in the face. It's not going to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to help with just any issue that you can have, especially in the winters here in Wisconsin, and I'm sure during the summers and when it gets wicked hot here too.
Yeah. And the attic is, I mean, even if it's not used, it's an important cavity of the house.
Mm-hmm.
When you insulate, if you're going to do it on your own, make sure you read or you listen to someone, even if you don't want to call in an expert, because there is a certain amount of airflow that you're going to need up there. Otherwise, you're going to create mold. So if you throw insulation in your floor, you're usually fine because that's just going to keep the heat from rising up into that attic. But if you're putting insulation in between those attic trusses and you're stopping the airflow from the soffit up to like your ridge vents, you're going to block moisture in there, and then you're going to create mold, and mold's going to get in your insulation, and then you're going to have to rip that all out.
Okay.
So make sure they've got these like baffle protectors, which pretty much just creates like a fourth of an inch cavity. So mm-hmm. it can go up the soffit, up your roof line into your ridge vent, and you can insulate everything below that. And then you tack up your drywall, and that will insulate it, and you'll make it look like a brand new space. But just make sure one little thing, don't block airflow.
I think we're gonna need to talk about this a little bit offline because we had issues with ice dams last year off of my son's bedroom, and so we were gonna do some more insulation this year. But now you're making me a little nervous, so we're gonna have
nothing
to be
nervous.
This.
I don't want to like throw red flags everywhere. I just don't want people to just go in. They're gonna insulate it, which will help your one problem.
Sure.
That will absolutely solve your problem. You'll retain heat. It'll be nice up there. It'll be great. But again, just like removing the siding, once you do one thing, it's not a fix all. There's going to be the next thing that's going to cause. So that would be the, when you put insulation, make sure you have airflow.
Yeah.
That's really it. And that blown air insulation, it's great. But if you don't want to deal renting one of those machines, they've got the baffles and all that stuff where you can just roll it out and tack it in and then drywall over it. Just make sure you have airflow. That's really about it. And that's where you can get a handyman to come in, and he'll talk you through that stuff.
For sure.
It's not a super complicated process. You just got to make sure that you're doing it the right way. I talked to contractors. I'm sure there's hundreds of videos out there of how to insulate your attic.
For sure.
The one thing most recent about attic insulation that I was putting up was this reflective barrier. It's this thin little, it looks like aluminum foil. It's like a thick aluminum foil that you can lay through your attic truss.
Yeah.
And that basically is like a retention more on top of the insulation that's going to keep the hot air up towards the roof and your room temperature in towards your living area.
Nice. But anyway, we started this by saying add an attic bedroom. Because if you can add an extra bedroom in your house anywhere, or whether it be a bedroom or an office or a study or a kid's playroom, you're adding value to your home because that's extra usable square footage in your house.
Yep. And that's literally what we're doing at the next house. It is a one story with an attic kind of dorm, like a attic storage truss situation. But the reason we're adding the dormers is because we're adding a staircase. When you add a staircase, you need headroom. So the dormer is going to create the headroom over the steps. And then it's also going to be headroom for the bedrooms. We're adding two bedrooms upstairs. Okay. So it is a four bedroom right now.
Okay.
We're going to be removing one of the bedrooms on the main floor, but then we're adding two upstairs. So it's still going to stay a four bedroom.
Nice.
We're making the bedrooms on the main floor bigger. We're attaching one of the bathrooms on the main floor into the master.
Oh.
And then we're adding two bedrooms upstairs. So
that sounds awesome.
Again, not changing the floor plan in terms of going out or adding an addition. Because once you add an addition, you now have to dig. You have to put, you have to get a mason in to create your foundation. It's messy.
Yeah.
This, we're taking the existing structure. We're adding bedrooms upstairs. It's going to add to the living space.
Uh-huh.
And you're not going to know the difference when we're done.
That's going to be great.
Yeah.
It's going to be really nice. But anyway, I think I kind of want to surprise you all with the fact of our next DIY home improvement, or technically DIY, but it could be. You could have a professional install it too. This is the one of the best returns on investments. Do we know what it is? Garage door.
True.
It's so boring, right? You never would think about it, especially if your garage is in the back of your house and you don't ever really look at it because you park on the street during the rest of the year. But in the winter.
Is this hitting home for you?
Yes, it is, because I had to replace my garage door last year. It was so janky. It was awful. It was like kind of worked sometimes, kind of didn't sometimes. So we got a new wood look garage door. So unfortunately right now our two garage doors do not match. Don't look at the other one. Just look at the new one. But we won't be replacing the old one, the other old one, next year. But yeah, we love our new one. It works really well. It's smooth. It glides.
Yep.
But
they're finicky stuff. And that, I think that's why you get such a big return on it. The house we're doing right now, the garage, the motor does not work.
Oh.
I haven't even touched the garage yet. We're just trying to get the house done.
Right.
But when we have to unlock the garage door and lift it up by hand every single day.
Gosh.
It's irritating.
Yes.
So like, I can't imagine living at a place where you have to like manual open your door. It's one of those things I think we become desensitized to.
Sure.
And then we oversee it because we just like, oh yeah, they've got a garage. It's got a motor. It opens with a button.
Right.
Like, it might not.
I lived in a house for seven years with no garage. Oh my gosh, shoot me in the winter. It was so cold. And before I got an auto start in my car, I thought I was going to die. Like, I would make my husband go outside and start my car every morning. And I had to be at work by 7 o'clock every morning. So that means he had to be out at like 6:30 starting my car for me.
Yeah. I mean, and if you by chance have the garage that does face the street, or you can drive right in from your driveway.
Sure.
Like, that is a huge, like, even more than the front door.
Right.
When you drive into a driveway, the first thing you look at is going to be the garage, because that's where you're going.
Your house door is this big.
Yeah.
Your garage door is about five times as
big. And your eye is going to go to the bigger thing that you see. Right. And if you can make that an attraction, it's going to help you out. So, again, for the same reasons as your door of why you'd want that steel benefit, just the nice, classy, well-done, well-balanced, good motor garage door is going to add value to it.
And you can get an insulated garage door too.
Correct.
So, I mean, how can you lose with that?
Right.
Your return on investment for that, if you DIY it, is going to be about 90%. If you have a professional do it, it's only about an 87%. So it's not a big loss there. We had a professional do ours because we were like, there's so many moving parts. There's so much going on. We needed a new motor for our garage. Like, it was just not worth it for us to do it personally.
Yep.
And if you can have a professional come in, spend a couple $100 on them.
Yeah.
Go for
it. There's a lot of balancing that goes into it.
Yeah.
There's tracks that you need to make sure that are running correctly. So, again, one of the things, wouldn't hurt to get a professional in.
For sure.
But if you're handy.
For sure.
Something you can definitely do on your own.
Yeah. So next one is new wood floors. And I'm pretty sure that this would include like refinishing your hardwoods as well.
Yeah.
But
which again, if you have a home with hardwood, don't sell it out. Like if you go into a house and it looks kind of old, you don't need to replace them.
No.
You can always buff them, sand them down, refinish them, and they will look like they did when you first bought them.
My floors need to be redone. I'm like sitting here looking at them now as I'm talking about this, and I'm like, ugh. They need to be redone. They look awful.
And hopefully everybody out there, and if you don't know it, I'm going to give you this huge thing. I think Lowe's does it. I'm pretty sure they do. But I know Menards because I've done it. And I know Home Depot does it because I've done it. The tools that you need that you can rent.
Yeah.
Like you rent one a floor sander for a day. Costs you like, I don't know, somewhere between like $50 and $100.
That's not bad.
To run that. And then you just need to buy the new finish.
Yeah.
And then you're done.
That's next to nothing compared to what you will pay to have your floors refinished, because I've previously had floors refinished and it's about $500 a room.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a cheap thing, although I am a little nervous if we were to redo ours, just because if you're using one of those sanders, they can get caught. They can like dig into the wood a little bit. So you really need
you gotta to keep them going because they'll dig. Yeah. That's the thing. I'm redoing the two story. It's about, I don't know, just over 2,000 square feet. To put in vinyl plank, it's about $5,000.
Oh boy.
I think to do that. Which again, it's gonna be worth it. Mm-hmm. The stuff's durable. And the same thing if you've got old floors that you don't like.
Right.
So we'll go back to do yours or the house that we're gonna do in November over the winter. The floors that are underneath, I don't really care what they look like because I'm gonna put the LVP right on top of it.
Sure.
So you rip out that carpet. They may have carpeted over hardwood floors.
Right.
If they did, maybe I keep them. I don't know. Right. I haven't seen it yet. When I walked through, they wouldn't let me rip up the carpet.
Oh, that's baloney.
But yeah, I don't know what's underneath. But if it is just subfloor, then you obviously put LVP on top of it.
Yeah.
The house that we're doing right now did have hardwood floors through the kitchen, living room, and dining room. But they were something I didn't want to mess with.
Right.
I could have sanded them down. Didn't really want to.
Sure.
So we're just putting the LVP on top. I'm not ripping it up and getting to the subfloor. I'm just keeping those floors on, putting the LVP right on top of it. You put like a underlayment, which is like this foam.
So what you're saying material. Is I could just put LVP over top of my hardwoods and then just be done.
Absolutely. Again, you don't have to worry about dumpster. You don't have to worry about a demo crew coming out and ripping up your floors.
Jason, we might be doing this.
You literally can live in your house as you do this and just do it room by room.
I love it.
So, again.
I think we really might do that.
Yeah.
Oh, no. This is bad.
At a certain point, you're not going to be able to keep building on top of stuff.
This podcast,
you'll have to take off your molding to do it and then reapply your molding. But if you're gentle and you take off your baseboard.
That's fine.
Or the molding.
I want new molding anyway. So there you we're go. Good.
Then just accidentally break a couple. And then you're like, well, we got to get new ones.
I want chunky, like craftsman molding. I don't like this. I don't know. We have like three different kinds of molding in our house. Mm-hmm. And it's ucky.
Yeah.
It's ucky. It makes me really sad. Anyway, new hardwood floors. Your return on investment is going to be about 90%. And that's if you have it professionally done. So it sounds like it'd be pretty good.
100% worth it.
Pretty good return on investment. And that kind of comes to our end as far as our list goes. But I wanted to talk to you about some considerations, whether you choose to DIY it yourself or whether you choose to hire it out to a professional. And one of the big things is it worth your time and effort? DIYing can save you money, but if it comes at a cost as far as like time and sweat goes, maybe it's not worth it. Maybe it's worth it to have your weekend with your family or with your loved ones. Then I would suggest hiring it out and spending the extra money and taking a little bit of the return on investment off. Two, and we kind of touched on this earlier, how risky is it? Like, is it worth hopping up on a roof? I don't know about that, but if you're super handy, go for it.
Right.
Three, do you have the knowledge, the skills, the equipment to do it right, the right way? And some of that just boils down to like what Marcus just said. Can you go to Home Depot and rent out the equipment for it? And is it worth the cost of the equipment that you're renting? Then it's probably worth it for you to do it DIY. So those are some things to consider before doing your DIY projects or before hiring it out. And then finally, a couple tips I wanted to go over for DIYing. One of the biggest things is just start small. You don't have to do a lot of big, like major, like kitchen renovations. You can just, I don't know, paint your walls or do some landscaping in the front yard. Nothing has to be big or grandiose. It can just be small to start. And then you can just DIY parts of projects as opposed to DIYing the entire thing. So say you're redoing a kitchen and you're not comfortable hanging cabinets, but you feel like you might be able to tackle like installing a backsplash. Well, you can just do the backsplash and have somebody else do the cabinets, or you just want to paint the kitchen. Do that. I mean, heck, you can even sand down your cabinets and just paint your cabinets as opposed to replacing all of them. And then you can always, instead of replacing your front door, what you could do is you could just paint your front door. If you like it and it's wooden, you could just paint it. You can even paint some aluminum front doors or steel front doors.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to replace them. You can just upgrade them.
Absolutely. And that's the one thing is some of these, if you have them, they don't need to be a complete replacement.
Right.
You can always sand down to the base, reprime and repaint.
Right.
It's been done before. I picked up steel doors like for garages.
Yeah.
I don't need to buy a new steel garage door. So I'll buy it. You can always refinish it.
Sure.
And then put it back in. It looks brand new.
Right.
So some of these things, yes, the factor of having a brand new one, like for flips, all that stuff, I'm going to go new. I'm going to get it. I want to make sure that these new homeowners are coming in and knowing that their stuff is brand new and they're buying the quality that they need. But for some of the rentals, for garage units and all that stuff, I'll get used ones.
Right.
It's a white, but I want a brown.
Sure.
A white's a white for a temporary before I put brown on it. Right. And then it's a brown door.
Exactly.
I like the idea of starting small. One, it's not going to break the bank. So if you mess something up, you mess it up, big whoop, try it again.
Right.
Two, you're going to start gaining confidence that you can do these things. When I started in real estate, I maybe had plugged a drywall patch that I did when I was a kid. Downstairs, me and my brother used to play basketball, and I went through the wall one time.
Oh,
so me and my brother had to repair that. I think that's like the most I've installed like interior doors, but I wasn't the most handy person. I don't have like this long family history of everybody being in construction and knowing all these things. I just started small and then worked my way up. So to the fact, like you said it perfectly, like start somewhere small. Don't redo your kitchen at the first thing.
I mean, my husband started when he moved into our house, he started by painting my son's bedroom. He had never touched a paintbrush before. He had never done anything construction-y. And he's gone from that to he learned how to pour his own cement slab and install a putting green in our backyard. He did that all himself. That was not me. So I give all the credit in the world for YouTube University or learning how to do things and starting small.
Yeah.
Like, it's fabulous.
Yeah. This is not rocket science.
No.
It does take some reading.
Mm-hmm.
It does take your time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not the most complicated thing in the world. And if you start small, you'll gain the confidence and you'll be like, all right, well, I'll tackle that next thing.
Right.
And then you'll do that and you're like, oh, well, I learned. So next time I do it, I'll do it better.
Mm-hmm.
But now let's try this.
Yeah.
And you'll take what you learned in the first two projects, apply it to the third one.
Right.
And it'll go smoother and smoother. And by the end of it, you won't be terrified to redo your bathroom.
For sure.
Or tile your tub or anything like
Tiling
that.
Tiling a tub.
Like the surround. Sorry, not the tub part. The surround.
I was like, that just doesn't sound comfortable.
I just generalized the tub area. Because sometimes when you look at tiling and grout work, it's terrifying.
It's
overwhelming.
It's not hard. I tiled my closet in my bedroom. It's not bad.
You tiled your closet?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to see this.
Oh, for
I've never
sure.
seen tile in a closet.
Don't judge the
I'm
rest
not judging.
Of my bedroom,
I just want
to
see. Nothing is weird.
Messy.
Nothing's weird.
But anyway, one last kind of thing is you can always add more storage in your house.
Yep.
That is, like, I live by that because we live in a tiny 740 square foot house. Like, I cannot tell you how small it is for 2.5 people. And I say half a person because my son lives with me half the time.
Yeah.
So we only consider him half. 2.5 people and 2 dogs. like you can never have enough storage in our right. house.
So at this new one that we're doing right now, mm-hmm. off the back door, there was the steps going down and then there's two steps going up to the main floor. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a little foyer area.
Yeah.
And right next to those two steps, there was like this open cavity. And I was like, all right, do we do like a half wall just kind of going up? All we did was draw up the wall
mm-hmm.
up to the staircase.
Yeah.
And it created like this little nook.
Sure.
Everybody that walks in was like, that is such a good idea. Because it's like a, it's a little like 2.5 foot by maybe 2 foot.
Did you little put shelves in there?
We're going to put shelves yeah. and underneath. So we could do like little cubbies where we could put yes. shoes and backpacks and hats and gloves. And there's no door to it. And all I did was I didn't cut a 2x4 to 6 feet. I cut it all the way up. Yeah. And it's like a little wall and everybody loves it. It's just a storage nook.
I can't even tell you about all the storage that we put in our house. And me working from home now, especially, we're going to be building my closet's actually going to turn into my home office. So it's just like finding all the spaces that you can yep. and utilizing them to the best of your ability.
Yeah. Or if you put a dormer on your roof, you can move your office up there.
I wish.
But yeah, that is perfectly said. I think you nailed it. Hopefully everybody obviously understands the financial aspect of it, but now like a little bit more confidence in the resources to use to get these projects mm-hmm. done. Starting small, starting from there, and then building yourself up to.
And one more thing, don't forget about just keeping up with the maintenance of your house, because I feel like that's imperative yeah. that you do that. Because I mean, even changing your furnace filters or doing touch-up paint in your house, just keeping it up to yeah. date is so important.
Yeah. And if you're looking at selling, and I'm going to throw a tidbit in because that situation literally just hit. I came from a showing that my sister and brother-in-law were looking at. And one of the things that was called out on a past inspection was that the furnace was dirty.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's such a little
thing.
Go to Home Depot, get a filter and put right. it in. From start to finish, you cost yourself $10 with gas
right.
in about an hour of your time for just a little thing.
And I say you even just go have your furnace clean, go have your air conditioning tuned up. Just mm-hmm. do all that stuff before you put your house in the market. Yeah. Just to ensure that you're getting ahead of it and that nothing is wrong that you could get called out in right. inspection.
And at the bare, like, just looking at it, you're going to spend money. If you own a home, you're going to spend money. Are you going to spend money on wasted efficiency, where if your ducts are dirty or your filter is dirty, you're spending more money in electrical or in gas, whatever one you're working on,
right,
to pump your airflow through it?
Oh my gosh.
Or spend the money and let things work correctly, and you're going to spend less money on the actual gas or electric that you're using.
All right, I guess I should call the furnace people and have them come and like.
I know
my ducks.
It stinks to pay for it up front because you're like, well, I'd rather pay $300 over a period of time because it's cents, dollars here and there.
It's working fine.
Or just spend it up front and then your monthly bills will go down. So it's a teeter totter, each one right. you want to go to. But when you look at it, you're going to spend money either way. You don't replace your front door and there's seams where air is escaping. Mm-hmm. Or your windows are cracked
right.
and you don't want to replace it,
right?
Don't. But you're not saving any money.
I know.
Air is escaping through that, where you're just pumping more hot air into your house, which you're spending more on utilities.
We keep trying to like make a budget for ourselves where we put X amount of money aside each month just for, you know, upkeep of the house, or just being able to be like, oh, here's a household emergency. Here's mm-hmm. something that we need to take care of. Just that type of thing. Like, we have to have our sewer pumped every, I don't know, 6 months to a year, just because it backs up because there's a belly in one of the lines underneath. And of course, it's like in the middle, it's like halfway between the street and our house. And it's like, oh, that would be a very big expense.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Anyway.
Well, I love that show. Thank you for doing all the research, Natasha. I know it's going to help some people out there that are listening. So kudos to you for that.
Hey.
Loved it. Hopefully you guys took something from it. Hopefully you get a little bit more confidence to tackle a project that you have. If you did tackle a project inspired by the show, post on our Instagram or our Facebook. We'll definitely make sure that we reach back out, get you something special just for trying.
For sure.
We'd love to hear from you guys in terms of what you tackled.
And show us your pictures of the project.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just post a picture.
Them.
It'd be
yeah.
great. But yeah, we'd be excited to hear that. That'd be great.
Totally. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to us today. I had so much fun researching this project.
Yep. I really let you take the reins.
I know. I was a little scared.
I sat down in the chair. I was like, Natasha, are you ready to talk? Because you're going to talk more than you ever did. So, it was a great show. I loved it. All these topics. Hopefully, you said you're going to put that spreadsheet on the...
I will.
Okay,
yep.
Perfect. Use the spreadsheet. Look at all those items that you have. If you have questions on any of those items or want us to expand a little bit more, or if you're even looking for, hey, we were thinking about doing our kitchen. Do you have a handyman or somebody that could come out and help us? I'll make sure to find somebody that'll come out, just take a look at your project for free, give you like an estimate or give you some pointers. I'm not afraid to share my contact list with anybody who's listening.
I have the best handyman, the best electrician, and the best plumbers around.
And if you want granite countertop, she's got a granite guy.
Oh, I do. Too. He's awesome. So cheap.
So let us know what you think. We'd love to hear from you. Other than that, we are going to sign off. Completing episode 6.
7?
7.
7.
6.5.
Okay.
We don't know.
I don't know.
But we'll be back next week.
Yep.
We'll have another exciting episode for you.
Yep. I have no idea what we're going to tackle, but it's going to be fun.
It is. It is. Perfect. Well, we're going to get out of here. Now it's time to like bundle up, get some hot cocoa, start a fire. I'm talking like it's like mid-December.
I know.
I just don't like cold. It hits below 65 degrees and I'm in sweatpants and two sweatshirts.
I hate even putting jeans on. It's just cold.
Yeah. Wool socks.
All right, guys. We're getting off topic.
All right. Sounds good. Have a good weekend or whatever day you listen to it. Enjoy your day. We'll be with you soon.
All right. Bye.
Bye.